Bonjour.
Hello and welcome to the France 24 interview. Our guest today is Mykhailo Podolyak. He is an advisor to Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. He is with us from the Ukrainian capital, Kiev. Thank you very much, Mr. Podolyak.
Здравствуйте.
Thanks very much.
Kiev, justement, a été,
Kiev was hit last night. It's been several days in a row that this has been happening. What's happening in Kiev?
So if I understand correctly, that's the fifth attack in the past 1.5 weeks. On the night of the 7th to the 8th, there was an attack, 35 drones over the city of Kiev. Also on that night, 25 cruise missiles were sent to Kiev. Now, most of them were shot down. However, that caused some debris to fall on private homes. Now, despite that, there weren't many victims. We also saw an attack on the night of the 8th to the 9th of May. Now, Moscow actively attacked Kiev, and it's very easy to understand why, given that today there is a commemorative service where Russian politicians are going to be celebrating the victory in 1945 in the Red Square, and yet they're still attacking Kiev, a peaceful city.
Well, precisely, this May 9th was the traditional Victory Day parade to celebrate the end of World War II in Moscow. President Putin spoke. He said we were at a turning point, and he claimed that the Ukrainian people were hostages of a criminal regime in the hands of its Western masters. What do you think of this parade and of Putin's words?
Well, I think that first and foremost, we need to be very clear what we're talking about here. This is a parade for a victory, a military victory, but Russia is waging war against a civilian population. That's the first point. We also need to bear in mind that any war, in particular the Second World War, which is one of the most awful wars in the 20th century, if not in all of history, but this is a day where we're commemorating a war. It's a day of remembrance, a day of commemoration. So it is completely unimaginable to think that they could be talking about waging war, which is exactly what they're doing. And one thing I would like to draw everyone's attention to is the fact that Russia, when they're celebrating a victory, in particular the victory in 1945, they're doing it with a smile, saying, we can do it again. So you can just imagine what that really means. Now, when hearing what Vladimir Putin has to say, I find it very strange. You have one sovereign state, Russia, another sovereign state, the Ukraine. And it's unthinkable to have one making comments about the domestic politics of another, which is exactly what Russia is doing for the Ukraine. Now, if there were a regime in place that were not respecting human rights, then the local population would protest against that. They would be able to protest through elections. They would be able to hold democratic elections to protest against that regime. But it's not up to Russia to interfere with domestic politics. The other point I wanted to make is that Russia always feels that they have the right to interfere in domestic politics of their local neighboring countries. This is the case with Ukraine. They interfered in local politics and they tried to bring about considerable political change in the country. And that is the reason why there is a war on at the moment. There is no other reason. And we've been at war for the past 15 months. This war is not justified. It is a war that was triggered by the Russian Federation, and it is completely unfounded. So when we hear what Mr. Putin has to say, we find it unacceptable. He's trying to defend murdering civilians in a neighboring country.
Alors évidemment, on parle beaucoup.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of talk about a Ukrainian counter-offensive. Your defense minister warned that the Western allies were maybe expecting too much from this counter-offensive after what we saw in the autumn in the Kharkiv, Kherson regions, that the Ukrainians would be able to reconquer all the territories taken by Russia. Do you also think that the Western allies are putting too much pressure on Ukraine to win and win quickly?
I think our Western partners aren't too optimistic. I think they're very realistic. They have understood that a protracted war will only benefit Russia. If we were to let down our guard and drop the intensity on the battlefield, then that will enable the Russians to take stock, regroup, and mobilize. Now, to avoid that happening, to avoid having Russia rearming, regrouping, and remobilizing its troops, we need to keep pushing forward. We need to keep pushing forward so we can bring this war to an end as soon as possible. Now, again, when we're talking about a counteroffensive, it's not just a single attack. It's not just we start on one day and it's finished a few days later. It's a long string of military actions that we need to enact with the ultimate goal of breaking through the front line at multiple points at the same time. That is a way for us to be able to liberate certain occupied territories. It's only in getting back to the 1991 borders that Russia will also be able to undergo its own political change, its own domestic political change, and give up any of its desire to seek revenge. So a counterattack, it's tens, hundreds of small operations that may take some time. Again, it's not just a single operation that's going to last a day, a week, or a few weeks. And thanks to all of the assistance and aid that we have had from our Western partners, the equipment that we've received in Ukraine, we are going to be able to use that to liberate some occupied territories. Now, if we were just to look at this from a theoretical point of view and talking about the morale of Russian soldiers, if we would be able to bring about some strategic defeats of the Russian troops, then that would undermine the morale of Russian troops and hopefully they would leave the battlefield. That's just one scenario we're working on.
You said this counteroffensive will be multi-pronged. Will it also involve the Donbas and Crimea?
Now, the scenario that we are working on, that we have been preparing, they are confidential, but they are well understood by the head of the armed forces and the president. They are very much aware of all the scenario that we are preparing. What we do need to understand is that our territories are occupied, and some of them have been occupied since 2014. And if we don't get them back, then this war will not really be finished. So our strategy behind the counterattack is to free those territories in the Crimean Peninsula and the Donbass region. That means those areas occupied in 2014. It's important that people understand that. An effective counterattack would be an attack that lowers morale in the Russian troops, forces them to give up their positions, and hopefully it would bring about some level of political change in Russia, because that is the ultimate goal. And that would help us rethink security itself in Europe. If Russia doesn't change, if the Russian elite stays, then they will continue to do the same. They will continue to carry out blackmail activities, terrorism, political assassinations. They will continue to fund radical movements throughout Europe just to cause strife within the countries to dominate Europe. The war is happening right now, and Russia is clearly showing that it takes international law very lightly, so therefore we need to finish this war in the right way.
Last question, Mikhailo Podolyak. Evgeny Prigozhin, the head of the Wagner Group, has been making nearly daily declarations. He has complained that he wasn't getting ammunition from the Russian military in the Bakhmut area, where there's been a dreadful battle for months. And now he's accusing Russian military chiefs of deceiving, quote-unquote, Vladimir Putin, and that the Russian state is incapable of defending Russia. What do you make of those latest declarations, and what do they tell us about the situation within the ruling elite in Russia?
First of all, I think this clearly reflects the current situation within the ruling elite in Russia. It embodies the conflict at large, because there is a lot of infighting and conflict between the groups. Shoigu and Gerasimov, minister and the chief of general staff, against Prigozhin. There's conflict between them, and for the past year they've been at loggerheads, because the Minister of Defense has been wanting to reduce Wagner's clout within the decision-making process. So they aren't receiving deliveries, they aren't getting new recruits, they've actually been banned from recruiting in prisons, which is what they used to do. They've had their budgets cut, and behind them, in the second line, you have units from the regular armed forces that aren't allowed to leave the battlefield. So Prigozhin has understood the situation perfectly, and he's very disappointed with the fact that his soldiers are being killed and that they're being transferred into the units of the regular armed forces. So this is just one aspect of the current conflict within the Russian elite. Now, if we can win some strategic battles against the Russian army, then that will further exacerbate the conflict within the Russian elite.
Mikhailo Podolyak, thank you very much for being with us here on the France 24 interview from Kiev in Ukraine. Thank you all for watching it.